Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, flying solo this week again. Can't wait to get Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church as soon as they allow him back in our studios. And I think it's going to be after the first of the year. We will have him back, and I might have to put two segments aside because he's going to have a lot to talk about. I can tell you that right now. Our special guest, I'm going to just take the entire first segment and talk about her accomplishments because, look, she's a big-time softball player. Three-time Olympic gold medalist, two-time world champion, two-time Pan American Games champion, three-time NCAA champion, named in 2006 to the NCAA Division I softball 25th team anniversary team. And I could go on and on, but you'd never get a chance in the first segment to hear her. One thing that I want to talk to her about, career numbers, .428 batting average, man, solid. 333 hits, 53 doubles, 5 triples, 7 home runs. You got to get in the weight room. You got to start getting big, man. Let's start hitting the ball, Miss Leah. Let's go.
Yeah. Everyone loves the home run hitters, except when it gets to the finals, it takes the little base hit hitters that come through in the clutch, right?
Yeah. Leah O'Brien Amico is her name. And I told her, as I tried to start the show about 8 different times, it couldn't do. And she said, there you go, talking smack. Man, you look, I can help you with that. We got to make your hips a little quicker, get back a little bit deeper in the box. I can listen to me talking. I am solid in the church softball league. Slow pitch.
Well, yeah, exactly. You can be a great slow pitch player all you want. I will challenge you any day to go face a 70-mile-per-hour fastball with the rise ball and a changeup.
You know what? You bring it. Bring a bucket of those balls because I'm going to lose a whole bunch of – oh, man. You know what? Miss Leon, I sent you the video on this. So I do a segment for a show that just got canceled, by the way, called Around the Corner with John McGivern. And we would go to different communities in the state of Wisconsin. And I think we did it for 6 or 7 years. Won a lot of Emmys. Number one in the country Thursday nights at 7 o'clock on PBS. And my job was Sports for a Minute. And I would pick the best program to talk about in these communities. And we went to a place called Fort Atkinson, and they were loaded with girls softball. And these were really nice. They were so happy that I was doing this on their team and their program. And they were all very sweet girls. And I kept reading about their pitcher, and I said, which one's the pitcher I keep reading about? And this girl got this little sheepish smile and said, that's me. I said, why don't you warm up, because I'm going to take you deep. And her whole demeanor changed, Leah. She goes, really? I go, yeah. She goes, fine, here we go. I couldn't see that. I never saw the first pitch. I go, that's outside. This little catcher looks at me and she goes, are you kidding? That was right down the middle. I said, you got to get glasses. That was way outside. I hit one ball, a ground ball to the second baseman, and the pitcher got mad. I said, what are you mad at? She said, I don't want you touching any of my stuff. I said, well, I'm going to go lefty on you. She goes, can you hit lefty? I said, I can certainly hit you lefty. You would think an old Irish guy would learn his lesson. I bunted one to the third baseman, and the third baseman just cracked up laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? She goes, I would have thrown you out by a mile. And I said, I got to get out of here because these girls are all right. I'm just telling you. Leah, let's talk a little bit about your upbringing. Were you a multi-sport athlete? Were you a softball player only?
I was a two-sport athlete. I played softball and soccer. And so was very successful in both. I mean, I absolutely loved. I would have my soccer season, then I go into my softball season, and I did a little bit of like club soccer, but then travel softball pretty much took over. And at that point, we realized I would have more opportunity. My senior year in high school, I was the MVP of our entire league in Southern California in both soccer and softball.
Oh my goodness!
So I took pride in both. I love both, but softball opened more doors.
So, Leah O'Brien, your maiden name, Amico, your Irish parents must have been so proud of you.
They were. My dad is a big baseball fan. It's pretty cool. I was the first child. My dad loved baseball. Didn't have a lot of opportunities. His dad didn't really pour that time into him. And so here I was, this little, just competitive and, tomboy as a little girl. And so they got me into softball when I was 6 years old. And they just, he said, I just kind of took to it right about. So when I was 8, he started taking me to pitching lessons. And, I kind of just became that little athlete for them. I had a younger brother and sister, and we all played sports, but I kind of was the one that took off with it.
So if we can, where were you born and raised?
Southern California. I was born in Garden Grove, California, and grew up in Chino. And, just kind of, you could find us every weekend at the softball fields. Literally, I'd play a game, and my parents would kind of work with the league, and they'd be working the snack bars, and I'd be with my friends over on the side playing pickle.
Leah, I work with people I have two kids of my own and now four grandsons. My daughter and her husband have three, and then my son Matthew has a one-year-old. And so when Katie didn't really like to play a lot of sports, Matthew did, and I miss it so bad. I miss taking him and having that conversation with him. I coached him in basketball in AAU, and then I coached him in high school, and we won three state championships in the Christian schools, and he went on and played in Division III at Maranatha Baptist Bible College, and he walked out campus, and they handed him the ball, and they said, there's our point guard right there. And I miss going to watch him play. And so I am work with people that are like, I can't believe this weekend my daughter's got a soccer tournament and my son's got the, and I'm like, I'll do it. And they're like,
yes.
What? I go, I'll do it right now. I'll run them to one side of town, to the other side of town. Can I hang out with them and watch their games? They're like, you're not kidding. I go, no, you're going to miss it so much.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's such a blessing. It's funny because I didn't retire until I was 29 years old. I had been married. I had a child. And I was 29 and almost 30 when I won my last gold medal in Athens, Greece. And, I would still say, even to that point, my parents and having them in the stands and their support, I mean, there's something so special about that no matter what age I was.
I watched, and I did a lot of research on you, and I watched the video, and I just laughed, and I had my wife come in and watch this. You guys won a gold medal, and you left before you got the medal. You had gotten one before, but you had this little one at home, and you wanted to get home. And you're watching the women's basketball team win a gold medal. And you said, look, 24 hours ago, I was there, and I was winning a gold medal, and now I'm changing diapers. Like, it's the reality of this is incredible. And I just laughed, and my wife laughed. And what a whole different world that must have been.
Oh, it was the most just surreal experience because I was so immersed. We had gone 2 weeks early to compete and to prepare for our competition. Then, softball is a matter of, 10 days of competitions between the first game and the finals. So that happens. And then we kind of had the next day kind of that celebration. And then I hopped on a plane immediately because I'd already been away from my 3-year-old son for 4 weeks, which was so long. And so I get home, and he's so happy to see me. And then, yes, I'm watching the women's basketball team on TV. And And just this reality of, like, I literally flew across the world to come home to my family, and that was the world I was immersed in. Now I'm back in this world, my, you know, my full-time world.
Right.
Normally.
Your real world, yeah.
It was really unbelievable to think, wow, like, how quickly. But like you just said, like, really this reality of, this is who I really am, but look at what I was able to accomplish with this group of women. And it's really about having the full picture.
Hey, Leah, and I promised in segment two on Faith in the Zone, we asked for your testimony, and we definitely dig in to your faith and where it began and the platform that the Lord has given you through softball, and we will get into all of that. But I this is a sports station, and I'm a sports guy, so I've got 8 zillion questions regarding that part of your life. But I'll just ask a couple before we get to a break. If I said to you that I could let you get one more game in with one of the gold medalists, the 1996, the 2000 or 2004 teams, and it doesn't really matter why or who you would play, but you could put that uniform on one more time, which would it be, 96, 2000 or 2004 that you would choose?
I would choose 2004.
You would?
Yes. There's multiple reasons, but for me, I think the growth, the leadership role that I played, the knowledge that I had gained at that point. I was older. I was probably a little bit slower, but at the same time, the wisdom that I had.
Right.
And that team, we went in, and our goal, our coach, that's a big part of it. My coach was my Arizona softball coach, Mike Candrea. So he was the only my coach in that Olympics for USA. And he is like a dad to me. And he told us, we are not coming in here to just win. We are coming in here to dominate. And after losing 3 games in the prior Olympics, but finding a way to win the gold, this team, we went 9-0. We scored 51 runs, and we had one run scored against us. It was such a special
game. Boy, oh boy. 51-1.
Yes.
Unbelievable. So the entire hour, we're going to talk to Leah O'Brien, Amico, and trust me, I went through her accomplishments, but here's a couple that I saved to now because I think – look, she's got all the awards you can imagine. The most important thing in her life after looking and reading and hearing her is her faith in Jesus Christ, her husband, and these 3 boys. And that's the most important thing in her life. But there's some other awards that she has gotten that I think Athletes in Action Women's Board of Directors, which is cool, inducted in the Athletes in Action Hall of Fame. She was named number 44 best athlete in California high school of all time. Now think about that neighborhood. If you're in the top 50 in that state of all time, and she was named number 44, it's just really what a pleasure it is for us to be able to talk to her about her faith, about some of the things that she has done with her faith, and how the Lord has given her this great platform, and she has used it. As we are talking, I want to talk a little bit too about a book that she has written, and you can go to Leah20.com, Leah20.com, and I want you to take a look at, and I've read a little of this, and I'm going to pick this book up, I promise you. It's Softball Glory and God's Glory book, and it's just a 31-day devotional that includes Leah's Olympic college and travel ball experiences, encouragement, inspiration for players, Bible truths. You guys that are coaches out here, this is exactly. You should go on the website and buy, if you've got 20 players, get 20 books. And this is what a jumping off point and what a thing to talk about on your next away trip. Have these girls take a look at it. Leah20.com is the website. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we will ask Leah O'Brien Amico for her testimony and talk a little bit about some of the things that's going on in her life right now. This is Faith in the Zone. And we are on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. Again, I'm Mike McGivern, Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. We'll get him back in studio as soon as possible. Hey, when we left off the first segment, I talked about softball glory and God's glory. book and that Leah wrote. And our special guest for the entire hour is Leah O'Brien Amico. And if you missed the first segment, she is a big-time women's softball player. I talked a little smack, but she saw right through it. Three-time Olympic gold medalist, three-time NCAA champion at University of Arizona, Pan American Games champion, world champion, all of the above. One of the coolest things for me was Sports Illustrated that came out and have a picture, and she's right in the middle of it, and it says the real dream team. Women's Olympic softball team dominates in Athens. And I'm looking at the cover right now, and I'm telling you, Leah, what a smile you have, and I like what they put, the real dream team with you guys, and I love that. She wrote this book, and if you go to leah20.com, you can buy it there or go to Amazon. You know, Amazon is where everybody's buying their books. Amazon makes it real easy, but if you want it signed, Leah will sign it for you. leah20.com. Is where you're going to want to go. And again, this book it's perfect, I think, for grandparents, for parents, for players, for kids that are, you know, if you want your son or daughter to read about somebody who's played at a really high level, kept her head on straight, walked worthy, and utilized this platform the Lord has given her, get this book. Softball Glory and God's Glory, and it's a 31-day devotional book, encouragement, inspiration for players, Bible truths, and you will not be sorry. Leah20.com. Leah, the second segment of Faith in the Zone is our favorite, and I hear from people that say, boy, we love hearing it because everybody's got their own story, and it never gets old here on Faith in the Zone. If I could ask you to share your testimony with our listeners, please.
Yes. Definitely. I am so thankful for everything God has done in my life. And, you know, I grew up in Southern California as a little girl. My parents were actually really involved when I was born, working to help raise through the church, as a young married couple, these kids who were abused and neglected. And so they did that. And then, you know, they started growing their family. So my sister and I were both born. So it kind of moved out, started growing, and they kind of had become, hurt by the church. So then as a little girl, we kind of stopped going to church. My mom always kind of had a faith that she talked about, but I didn't really know a lot about it. So I knew enough to, you know that Jesus Christ had died for my sins. And, you know, and I believe as a little girl, that's where I was at. And God obviously saw my heart of just, yes, I want heaven and I want to know Jesus Christ. And I believe he died for me. And so, but as I got to high school, you know, at that point, I looked back and kind of started formulating what I would say American Christianity. I try to be good enough. I believe in God. And I kind of, you know, as long as I'm not doing the bad stuff other people are doing, I'm probably okay and I'll get into heaven. And so as I got into college, you know, my morals for a long time, they were pretty solid, at least according to my views, not necessarily the Bible's views. And so I had a teammate my junior year in college who came onto our team and just knew who God said she was. She loved Jesus Christ with all her heart. She was passionate and bold, and she knew God had a purpose, even on the softball field for her, and that she would be to be a witness for his glory to her teammates and to all who knew her. And so she invited myself and a couple teammates to Bible study. But first and foremost, she lived out her faith. And so she kind of got known as that girl of watch what you say, watch what you do. Nobody, of course, ever talked about like that about me. You know, I kind of followed the crowd as I got a little bit older. And so I went to this Bible study with Athletes in Action, a ministry that was on campus, and there was just a track athlete, Julie, myself, and our leader. And as they opened the Bible and started talking about God's word, literally I felt like this veil was lifted off my eyes. God had shown me, you've always said you knew me, but you don't know me. You knew about me. You had heard about me. You do not know me. And so I walked out of that Bible study that night and just said, God, I want to follow you. That was it. God, I want to follow you. Literally, I experienced what I didn't know the Bible taught at the time. The Holy Spirit came and dwelled in me for the first time in my life. And God made me realize when people would ask me before, oh, do you know if you died, you go to heaven? I would get defensive. Like, how dare you ask me that? But God showed me it's because I wasn't really saved. When people then asked me later on, I was so excited and thankful for this gift. And so God transformed my, you know, my heart, my mind, slowly but surely. He started showing me my concept of good was so wrong. I was to compare myself to Jesus Christ, not the standard of the people around me.
Right.
Then it showed me, it really showed me the area of my life and how much I needed God. I needed his transforming power. I needed a new standard, not my own. And so God just started to work in me. But really, I would say I was slowly but surely growing, learning to play softball for God's glory, learning that, you know, to trust him in the good and to praise him in the, you know, and praise him even in the hard times. And so with that, I won 3 national championships. I had a gold medal. I was 22 years old. I was on Team USA, and I got a phone call. My teammate, Julie, who 1 month prior, we were winning a national championship together on the field in Oklahoma City for Arizona. And a month later, I get a phone call from a teammate that Julie had passed away in her sleep. That
oh, my.
She had, since a young girl, had had diabetes. She told me this was the very thing that let her know who God really was and that how real he was and how much he loved her. And she had had throughout college, they were kind of trying to, you know, figure out her numbers. And she was having some struggles with a lot of that. But one night she went to sleep and she woke up in the presence of Jesus Christ. I sat in this hotel room with tears falling down my face and falling onto my Bible. And I thanked God for putting Julie into my life, for the fact that she had shared Jesus with me and, first of all, lived it out. There was power behind her words because she lived separate from the world. She did not fall in line and try to follow everybody else and fit in and then say, yeah, but I know God over here. And so that began at her funeral. I'll never forget this. I was 22 years old. It transformed my life. I said, Lord, when I die, I want everybody to sit and not talk about what a good softball player I was. I want them to say that I love Jesus Christ and I lived it out in everything I did. And only by the grace of God can I do that. But I would say for over 20 years now, I've told people about Julie. I've been able to tell people about Jesus Christ. And hopefully they have seen that my witness, it stands in line, that my actions line up with my words, and that really it's all about God in my life.
Well, you know, Leah, there are times when people share their testimony that it does put tears in my eyes. And what a powerful, powerful testimony that was. And thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, Julie must have been just an incredible friend.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
boy.
She was. She was an example. She was the one. This is what I love. She was just there. She was younger than me, but she influenced me this way. And she came onto a national championship team. I mean, we had won back-to-back national championships. And I remember thinking, how is this little girl so confident? She wasn't the star player. She wasn't at the level of a lot of these other players, but she had a different, she had God confidence.
Wow. Boy, what a great, again, thank you so much for sharing that. And look, there are guys on this show that the worst thing that they've ever done in their life is steal a candy bar. And then we've got guys like Pastor Daryl Strawberry and myself.
Yes.
You know, in times in our life where we're doing things that we should not have been doing. But if the Lord's willing to accept guys like us, I keep telling my friends, you know, my coaching friends and the people in this area and people throughout the country that, you know, reach out. Look, a lot of guys will say, hey, I listened to that show from 8 to 9. I walked my dog. That's as close to church as I've been in 25 years. I go, man, you got it. Let's have that conversation. You know what? And for you to be able to stand up now and say, hey, look, forget about all the stuff forget about those awards. That gets me to be able to come onto a show like this, but let's forget about those for a while. Let me tell you about this part of my life. Hey, let me ask you this. When not only then the second or the last year in college, the last 2 years in college, and then all the years on the Olympic and Pan American world teams, was it easier to walk worthy inside that locker room, or was it easier to walk worthy outside of the locker room when you surrounded yourself with friends that had similar beliefs?
You know, I would say early on, obviously, it was like this transformation process that was happening inside myself. And so I would say my teammates definitely saw it. I think when I was younger on the USA team, because I made my first USA team at 19 years old, I probably was a little more insecure and I was still young in the faith. And so, you know, I would stumble. So it was something that I definitely would keep to myself, or there were a couple strong Christians on the USA team. And I remember thinking, like, I'd love to be like that someday, where I was confident and walking worthy. And so there was definitely a growth process. Not only that, some of these athletes, you know, had been my friends, especially my college teammates, or even some high school friends, and they saw some of the areas that I struggled and stumbled and the sins that I was living out and you know, proudly partying or whatever it was.
Sure.
And so they kind of, you know, it's like this, well, wait, now you're not doing that. But I would say each year got a little bit easier. And finally, by the time, you know, I was in my second Olympics and especially my third Olympics, you know, I kind of got known as the one who, okay, there's Leah. We'd go by the, you know, at the Olympic facilities and it would say the religious center. They're like, Leah, there you go. There's your place. And so in a sense, it became almost as funny. I put Philippians 4:13. I put Phil 4:13 on my shoes, on my batting gloves. And they would say, hey, Leah, who's Phil? You mean him at 4:13? So it kind of became this joking, but in a way, but it was a good joking. They respected me. You know, I think more than anything, they saw that my actions did line up with my words as much as possible, as much as I possibly could, you know, with God's help. And I think more than anything, and they saw I also didn't judge them. I did not judge them or look down on them. I might not have agreed with what they thought, but I didn't judge them. They were my good friends, and I loved them. And to me, that mattered more than anything.
She is Leah O'Brien Amico, and boy, what a just a phenomenal testimony. And we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue this conversation. Now that you've heard this and you've heard her speak, do yourself a favor. Go to leah20.com, Softball Glory and God's Glory. It is a book that you're going to want to pick up either for yourself, for you and your wife, you and your husband, for your grandkids, for your kids, for, you know, anybody that is in your life right now that you think would benefit from a 31-day devotional book. And it talks a lot about Leah's Olympic college and travel ball experiences, biblical truths, and encouragement and inspiration for players, which I think is really important. And then daily personal discussion questions. Again, that as a parent or a grandparent, it'd be really awesome to be able to give this off as a gift and then to have that conversation as you're driving across town to practice or whatever you're going to do. So please look that, go to Leah 20 and pick that book up. And if you buy it there instead of Amazon might be a little easier for you. But Leah20.com, you get a signed copy, so I would recommend you do that. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brain Balance of Mequon. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM. The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week. Looking forward to Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church joining us again after the first of the year. Hey, Leah, can we talk a little bit about our special guest, by the way? It's Leah O'Brien Amico. And if you just joined us, she is a well-decorated women's softball player in the United States. She is a three-time Olympic medalist, a two-time world champion, two-time Pan American, three-time NCAA champion. And I want to talk to her about those days a little bit. Your decision to go to Arizona, first of all, was that a decision that was a tough decision? And how many places could you have gone that had offered?
You know, that's kind of a funny story because I was played younger in travel ball, and I was kind of a younger senior. I started college when I was 17 years old, and so I played down with my age group, but then grade-wise, you know, everybody else that was being recruited was the older kids, and so and they recruited a lot later in the past when I was playing. So the assistant coach for Arizona was told by another, you know, travel ball organization, you really got to watch this kid. You got to watch this girl. She's a pitcher. She's a hitter. She's a lefty, plays first base. So he watched, and I had a great tournament, and our team ended up shocking everybody and beating this other team that was very good. And so the assistant coach basically, you know, was like, we need to recruit her. And so Coach Candrea, our head coach, he invited me in, but he was so busy because they had just gotten off winning their first ever national championship that he wasn't even around the weekend that I came in on my recruiting trip. If I find out later, he was making visits to these other athletes they were recruiting to their houses, wanting them to come so bad. And here I was, this athlete that he was like, okay, you know. Well, they basically said, we're bringing in five athletes. The first two that commit, they get it, no matter what. So if you say yes, but somebody else already said yes, then you don't get to come. And so basically I was this one person already decided I was a second. I had a handful, not many, a handful of opportunities. Florida State was looking at me late in the game. Fresno State, which was a top program, they, you know, offered me a little bit of money, but not a full ride like Arizona. And, you know, and then Arizona and then a couple like Ohio smaller schools. So not many at all. So all of a sudden, you know, I say, okay, I want that second spot. So I call, I commit. I went to Long Beach State on a trip as well, and just was like, it didn't compare. And so I make this decision, and I kind of laugh because I tell Coach Candrea, who is literally one of my favorite people, I say to him, I say, I think I was like a surprise to you, wasn't I? I think when I came in, they weren't sure what they were going to get, you know, and I really believe that I, because ability-wise, I constantly played with people who were faster, stronger, did things, you know, in that sense, more physically, but then I had some of these intangibles, being a gamer and coming up clutch and, you know, in the big games, you know, being able to just make these plays that, you know, maybe it didn't look like I was going to be capable of doing that. And so really that ended up being, you know, just to this day, one of the biggest blessings. And Coach Candrea to this day will say, when Leah was playing, she always had a smile on her face,
That's awesome.
It just was so great. I loved what I was doing and the people I was doing it with.
And Leah, in high school, you pitched, played first base, but you ended up going to the outfield, correct?
Yeah, so that is a big part of my story, because the first year we had two pitchers. So our stud, she was a junior. She won the national championship. She was amazing. And then myself. And so I did okay. Not great. I did okay. And so by the end of the season, she was pitching full-time at the World Series. And I, at that point, had kind of become the designated player. So my second year, we had two freshman pitchers, our senior pitcher. And coach said, you know what? It's just too many. Leah, I want you to be in the lineup offensively every day. So I'm going to actually put you, originally he was going to move me to first, but I had a better arm than our first baseman. And so he said, you know what, you're more of a, you know, I need you out there. So then that was a big part of like, well, I've never played. I'm a sophomore in college. I've never played outfield. So, you know, the beginning, like learning, I need to learn to dive for balls and judge balls off the fence. And I throw like an infield, my arm's hanging after throwing to the plate. So I had to learn to throw like an outfielder and to perfect my throw and to dive and next thing you know, that's the thing that opened the door and the opportunity to be an Olympian. And so I made Team USA as an outfielder, went to my first national, you know, or international tournament and batted over 500, led the team. And so it was like, wait, this kid, what can she do, you know? And that's literally how I became, you know, an Olympian.
Wow.
I played two Olympics in right field. And then my last year in college and my last Olympic tour, I played first base and got moved back there. So, that's just part of it. I really tell these athletes, go for the opportunities. Where is the opportunity? Take it and be your very best at what's given to you.
Did you remember the first night that you got home to your dorm or your apartment when the coach said, okay, I'm going to move you to the outfield? Did you just go, you got to be kidding me. This is not what I signed up for.
No, you know, this is literally, I feel like I am just that personality of like, what do you need of me? Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to run through a wall. So, but I will tell you, I was okay with it. I think if anything, I was like, you know what? Now I get to practice more on hitting.
Right.
I always had to go over and pitch, you know, all the time and take time away from my hitting. And I think I had so much to learn that I went immediately into mode of like, how can I be the best at doing that? But I will tell you, with you saying that, I sat in the outfield with a third baseman who got moved to the outfield, and she literally complained the entire time we were out there. And I was like, I'm probably hearing her dad talk through her is what I'm probably hearing.
Right.
But
yeah.
Literally, I just listened to it, and that was not my mentality. It was like, all right, I'm out here. I'm going to be the best one out here now. And so I really believe that was a big part of my process is the mentality that I took with me.
Hey, do you remember playing in the first Olympics? And I often wonder when, you know, we watch Miracle all the time. It's my wife Terry's favorite movie. And we watch that movie. And I often think, you know, what was it like when the lights got so bright? And now they're playing, you know, in the semis, or they're playing in a game where against a really good pitcher and a good team. Did you feel more pressure playing for Team USA than you did for Arizona?
Yes, I for sure, absolutely. I think there was something in me that, for the most part, the bigger the setting, the less thinking that happened, whereas some people do the opposite.
Right.
The bigger the setting, the more pressure, the more their mindset has a struggle. I will say the only memory that I have of truly feeling like this pressure and this nervousness and excitement was right before the very first pitch of the very first game in the Olympics, and we were playing Puerto Rico, and I was in right field, and Lisa Fernandez was on the mound, and my heart was pounding more than ever. And literally, I will say, after the first pitch was pitched, this thought came to me, and it was, it's the same game you've played since you were a little girl. I believe that was God in a sense,
yes.
Because I'm like, I wasn't trying to think that, you know? And literally, I had a calm come over me, and the rest of the time, it was like, here we go, let's go. And that was it. And yes, there were nerves, and you know, but that, I really believe, you know, that is the difference between the players that are Olympians and elite levels and highest level players, and especially those that excel at that level, are the ones that we work on the mental game, but we also have a lot of that mental side of, this is why I am the player I am.
100%. She is Leo O'Brien Amico. Before we get to a break, how did you and Tommy meet, by the way?
That's a pretty funny story. He actually is from Boston, was working at University of South Carolina as a sports information employee, and he actually met the U.S. that my senior year at the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. His team went South Carolina, so he met our USA softball director, and he came to that summer to Team USA. So I just graduated, I just won my last national championship. And all of a sudden, Tommy comes to help our sports information leader. And I say, hey, who's this guy?
Who is this guy?
You know? And we just started talking at long distance for a year and a half. And we were married after a year and a half of meeting, and had a long distance relationship the entire time. But it was through sports. He was literally, he loved sports, was so passionate about it. So he really became my biggest fan.
So hold on now. He's a Celtics fan, I'm sure, right? A Patriots fan, all of that. The Bruins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Red Sox, all of them. Because those guys that live in Boston, you know, that they don't care where they move to. Because you could take the boy out of Boston, but you can't take Boston out of the boy, I'm sure.
100%. And I will tell you, he eats, sleeps, and breathes Boston sports and New England Patriots. And you better believe he raised my boys, even in Laker County and Dodgers, you know, town. He raised them to love all the Boston teams. So my kids, they've been born and raised that way, and they have that same view.
Hey, so these three grandsons that my daughter Katie has, Keegan, Logan, and Beckett, and I call them Key Lobe, right? So I got all three of them, Key Lobe. Keegan is kind of quiet, and he just, you know, he loves basketball, and he tries, and he's pretty good in football. And then Logan is a really good athlete as well, but he's smart as a whip. It's the youngest one, Leah, that I'm concerned, the six-year-old, Beckett. He believes he owns the world. He believes this is his, and if you want some, you got to come ask him. He came up to me a few months ago, and he said, Papa, there's Monday, Tuesday, and punch day. And he hit me right in a bad spot, and he doubled me over. And I said, you got to be kidding. He goes, Papa, there's Monday. I go, oh, I get the joke. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. He goes, you're so big. I said, it's going to hurt, right? And Leah, I lost my mom on April 2nd, and this happened prior to that. And she said, Michael, that was you as a little boy. That's exactly the kind of stuff you would do.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, but he can't be doing that to me. I'm old. And she laughed. So that six-year-old, that's the boy that scares me. Hey, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to wrap up Faith in the Zone. Our special guest, and I'll tell you what, she's just so fun to talk to, Leah O'Brien Amico. And again, I would go on that website, leah20.com, and I'd pick up the book, Softball Glory and God's Glory. You pick it up there. You can get it from Amazon. It'd be a little bit easier probably, but this one gets signed from Leah. And when you go on leah20.com, take a look at the back of the book. And I've read this thing a couple of times. The first person who wrote about it is Jenny Finch. And if you've ever watched or gotten involved with softball, Jenny Finch is somebody whose name you're going to know. And she writes a beautiful part about Leah. And I love hearing Leah relate biblical principles to the game of softball. I'm so thankful for her sisterhood. It's just a book that I would highly recommend. We're going to get to break. I'm going to ask Leah if she ever thought she'd be an author. That's coming up. And then if she could, think about one thing that happened to her playing softball. What's the best thing, and then what's the worst thing? And we'll get both those answers on the other side. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM. The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, our special guest. She's been a great one. Leah O'Brien Amico, and she is a big-time softball player. Do you still play a little bit at all?
No, not really. A few years back, I got the chance to play in the slow pitch games with the Wounded Warriors amputee softball team, and let me tell you, they were so impressive and inspiring, but I'm not very good at slow pitch, like I said. So, no, I only want to play if I'm going to be great at it.
That's awesome. Leah20.com is where you're going to want to go. You get all the information that you need from her. She is, a guest speaker, a motivational speaker. Watch some of the videos. My two that I really would recommend, I really liked when she got up and preached at church. And for me, I watched the whole thing, and I thought her stories and the way she delivered it, I felt so inspired. And then she talked about her book. It looked like the side of a softball field, and that made me kind of go and try to get as much information on the book, and I will make sure that I get a copy of that. I'm going to go on Amazon, or I'm going to go on Leah20.com to get an autographed copy. Hey, Leah, two quick questions before we let you go. When you think back at your entire career, and there's so many great memories, I'm sure, is there one that sticks out for you?
You know, I would have to say yes. I talk about it all the time when I speak because, you know, I just think there's moments in our careers that really, like, are difference makers. And for me, it was my freshman year. We're at the Women's College World Series. We get into the championship game against UCLA. And Lisa Fernandez, who I would eventually win 3 gold medals with, was a senior. Very much UCLA was expected to win. And I came up the first inning, and our first hitter got on base on an error to the shortstop. Next hitter moved her over, and then I came up, and Lisa had me down 0-2, and I fouled a couple pitches off, and then I ended up getting a base hit up the middle. We ended up scoring, and that was the only hit Lisa Fernandez gave up. And I share the story so much because here I was 18 years old, and that was in the moment that I would say that my mind was made up that I could be the very best in this sport. And so, you know, through that experience, through that opportunity, through that challenge, and even expectations, I was not expected. But as long as I battled, you know, I was able to have this experience and this success. And that, I really believe, was what told me, you know, when they said softball is going to be in the Olympics, I was 18 and I was like, I'm going to be on that team. And so I've carried that with me because I feel like that was literally this moment. That was like, you can do more than you even thought possible in this sport.
Did you ever have that conversation with her in the locker room of the Olympics? Like, hey, listen, hey, I got my hit off you. I don't want to hear about it.
No, I never would ever bring that up. But I will say, I laugh and I say to people, and we never talked about this either, but I would say when we would scrimmage each other and Lisa would strike me out, she would just, like, I felt like she screamed a little extra loud.
Sure.
And I just thought, you know, I think I was like, well, you're probably just getting me back. But, that's okay. This is practice.
Hey, did it bother you that UCLA didn't come knocking on your door to come play there?
You know, this is what's so funny is that, and I really see God's hand in all of this of where he had me and why. But my that year, you know, they had three of the best pitchers, Lisa and two other pitchers, Dee Dee Wyman and Heather Compton, that were truly the three best pitchers in the nation. And they didn't need any. But the year after, they went after all the pitchers.
Oh, so, man.
You know, I didn't know any better. I didn't grow up thinking I wanted to go to a certain college. I was the first one in my family to even go to a four-year college and graduate. And so, you know, I just felt like when they came, you know, God was in that process, and I didn't even realize it.
Hey, last question, and we're going to cut you loose. We love talking to people about their favorite moment, but I know as a basketball coach and a former athlete, I've got a couple. When I close my eyes at night, I still can't get out of my kitchen. You know, they're still up there in my head. If I would have done this a little different, that a little different. What's the toughest loss that you ever had?
Oh. The toughest loss, you know, I would probably say for me, I mean, I partly I have to go back to high school. I was a star pitcher And we got into the quarterfinal game, and I think we just had high expectations. My sophomore year, we got to the finals, and now I was a year older, and I literally could not throw a strike. I never had that in my entire career otherwise, but I could not find the strike zone. And so we ended up losing, and really just I felt like in that moment, like, I've never experienced this. What happened, you know? And so I was able to come back, you know, my senior year, we didn't get to the finals, but we got to the semis, and I at least competed. I felt like I just lost it. I've never had that, you know? And so that moment, and then being pulled against Arizona State, my coach can't, you know, they were one of our biggest in-state rivals. And I same idea. All of a sudden we have a little bit of a lead, and I start walking all these players, and he comes out and gives me his hand. I give him a high five. I'm this little freshman, and I give him a high five thinking, I don't even know what I was thinking. And he literally didn't say one word. He just kept his hand out there. And I realized, oh, he wants the ball. He's pulling me. And so that's, of course, my most embarrassing moment. We did go on to finish out that win, though.
But I would love if – I hope somebody took a tape of you high-fiving it, because I think as a coach I would have to start laughing, even though I'd be really upset with you that you couldn't throw a strike. Guys, again, she is Leah O'Brien, Amico, and I would go to leah20.com. Leah20.com. Take a look at all the information. If you want to order that book, you can do it right then. But look at the back of the book and look at some of the three people that write and what they write about Leah and her life and some of the things that this book means to them. And you'll get her background. And I can tell you that if you are a coach and you want your kids to have something to do as far as working a devotional, and I know a lot of you guys that listen to the show have interest in that, that's what you're going to want to do. Softball Glory and God's Glory. And it's a 31-day devotional book, Leo's Olympic College and Travel Ball Experiences, Biblical Truths, and Daily Personal and Discussion Questions. Leah, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Again, I want to thank Tom Roy for putting us together. And I appreciate your testimony so much and what the Lord is doing in your life.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's been an honor to be on here with you.
You got it. Thank you so much. And again, don't forget leah20.com is where you're going to want to go. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain. Lord, it was you that rescued me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.